Well, Beverly, thanks so much for coming and joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Can you talk a little bit about Mo Betta Green Marketplace and how it began?
Absolutely. Mo Betta Green is a traveling farmers market that began 6 years ago. And really, it was kind of an evolution that I was going through with food. I saw the movie Food, Inc. some years ago, and that kind of it was like dropping TNT in my world. And so I didn't think about food the same. And then I started learning things about food deserts and realized, oh my God, I'm a native of a food desert. And how I didn't realize that that was unjust. That was just injustice that I learned to live with. So long story short, I created a farmer's market that now serves many food desert neighborhoods. And my niche is that I love to sell and grow heirlooms. And I didn't really realize the further evolution that I was going to experience because of this market, when learning, getting to know farmers and what they're doing, also learning kind of the divide in the farming world of organic versus conventional, etc. And then given that I only want to really tap into organic food, it really changed who I could partner with and for what reason. And so I learned to work from a mission kind of basis and go from there.
And so just as a tease, I read that you have a petting zoo and dance classes at this marketplace. So can you talk a little bit how maybe your farmer's market is different than other farmer's markets people are used to?
Wow, petting zoo is definitely a stretch, but well, my farmer's market, I should say first, is there's three founding principles: food literacy, environmental stewardship, and social responsibility. Then, you know, that's a lot to say. So I coined this word HEAL, H-E-A-L, or kind of term for healthy eating, active living. And so that is the foundation of my farmer's market, because I'm about planting seeds for healthy living, which is meaning lifestyle. And most of us, we have to incorporate movement of some kind. And most of us that live busy, multitask lives are becoming more and more detached from eating healthy and living healthy lives. So my farmers markets, I have free exercise classes. Sometimes it's dance, Zumba, yoga, Tai Chi. And then there were a few years where I had vendors that built chicken coops. So they'd come and set up little chicken coops. We'd have chickens there and the kids could play with them. I've had milking goats come to the farmer's market at times. So it's, I wouldn't say I'm a petting zoo, you know, but I feel that people living in inner cities are absolutely detached from agriculture. And so that's a goal, is to reconnect people through food and experience to just that.
And yeah, and touching on that, can you talk a little bit about the community you're serving and what their response has been to Mo Betta Green?
Absolutely. Well, as I said, food desert which means a neighborhood where the residents don't have access to a store immediately. And there's another term, food swamp, where you are surrounded by fast food and still not a grocery store, fast food, liquor stores, things like that, but still not food. So the neighborhoods that I serve are deserts or swamps, technically, by definition. And since I'm a gypsy, I just pop up. I bring my tents and everything and set up for a while in X spot on a schedule. It has kind of been my approach. And I try to build at the community level also, because I connect people to how to prepare food. I have lots of food for folks to taste, because food demoing is foundational to teaching, because our mouths are our gateways, you know, and sometimes that's the best way to get someone to pay attention.
It's to give them tasty food.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And You are also, if that's not enough, you also are just started a farm, and that's the Seeds of Power Unity Farm.
Yes.
How did you have time to do that?
Well, it was a crazy evolution because in trying to source heirlooms for my farmer's market, I learned I had a narrow pool, and so there's a permaculture principle. The problem is the solution. And so I wanted to be a part of the solution. I know what the problem is, that there's not enough. And so I entered into a collaborative situation where I have a piece of land that's about 5,000 square feet. And on that land, in time, it'll have goats, bees, and chickens, because all of those things are legal within the city of Denver. And it creates a framework of teaching. In addition to heirlooms, I'm going to establish a seed library, heirloom seed library. I truly am committed to educating and connecting folk and inspiring them, hopefully, to grow them. One other thing that we're trying to do, another attribute on the farm, is we're going to build an earth oven, kind of like a cob oven and rocket stove combination thing, so we could literally harvest things and create food right there on the farm and create like community dinners and opportunities maybe to host canning classes or fermentation things, because we are so disconnected to what I call the lost kitchen skills of, you know, drying food, canning, different types of preserving, fermenting. So it is my wish and goal to leverage my work to create these connection points.
Before you saw Food Inc., did you already have a background in this, or is this things that you have learned just in the past 6 years after getting inspired from that movie?
Well, how about this? Seeing that movie just kind of brought me full circle. My grandmother, my mother's mother, and then my father, my grandpa from my father, those two loved growing food. Now, my grandmother was a farmer in Oklahoma, and then my father's family is from Texas, and he was an avid gardener, but shoot, he had huge gardens. So I definitely was connected to that, and because of my grandmother sharing stories with me about having to can 2,000 to 3,000 jars because she had 8 children and a husband to feed through the winter, you know. And she did everything. She made medicine. She you know, grew and preserved all the food and fed the community. She, you know, all of those skills. So I kind of have it in my blood. And when she moved to Denver in the 50s, my mom was high school age, and she turned her whole backyard into like a little mini farm. So I literally did grow up with that. But then I, like everyone, separated from that. And now I've kind of come full circle back to that.
That is a beautiful full circle. Well, Beverly, we don't have a whole lot more time here, but you definitely have a lot of information and passion to share. So could you tell us how people can find you at KGNU and your program that you have there?
Oh, thank you. Well, KGNU.org is a public radio station in the Denver Boulder area. It originated in Boulder, and there's a Denver branch, and it is a 100% grassroots organization. And I have the privilege of having a bi-weekly show called On the Heel Tip, of course, for healthy eating, active living. And I'm on every other Wednesday at 3 p.m. I actually have a show this Wednesday. And my goal there is we may talk food politics. I may have farmers come, people that would do food justice work. We talk about school. Any way that food is involved, we try to talk about it. And in fact, chefs. I mean, it's just endless.
Well, it sounds like you're our sister station for the Big Fat Farm Show up in Denver. Well, Beverly, thanks so much for coming and sitting down with me today and for all the amazing and inspiring work that you're doing up there.
And thank you for being an inspiration, and thank you for having me.